Welcome into the second hour of the Steve Hawkins Show. This Tuesday morning, it's October 29th. You can join me anytime during the program, 800-469-0098, 276-466-0098. You can also post comments on our Facebook page. That's the Steve Hawkins Show page. You can also email to steve@supertalkwfhg.com. And why not program us in your smartphone? So when you want to talk, you don't have to wait for me to give you the phone number. We're already there, just a click or two away. Steve Show, 276-466-0098. Back to warm weather this afternoon, temperature in the upper 60s and then into the low 70s tomorrow and Thursday and maybe into Friday. Change is on the way on Friday. There's a chance of rain, and depending on when the rain arrives, we'll see how warm Friday is going to be. But we know afternoon temperatures this weekend are going to be in the mid-50s instead of the 70s, and overnight lows are going to be around the freezing mark. Right now, we're putting the chance for rain Friday at 70%. Hawks Half Dozen's coming up. Some of the stories people are going to be talking about during the day today, including how young is too young when it comes to using mobile devices? Some soldiers who are too fat to serve are considering surgery to keep their jobs. And a test is underway to track some of the mentally ill. Later this hour, our business guy, Alan Gwynn, will be here to answer your questions and respond to your concerns about business. And we'll be talking about communicating to help you determine how effective you are. More talk coming right up on the Steve Hawkins Show. 54 degrees at 7:39 on the Steve Hawkins Show. Our business guy, Alan Gwynn, is here today. If you have questions for him or want to comment on his topics, 800-469-0098, 276-466-0098. We have a joke in the communications business that we're good at everything but communicating. And, you know, sometimes that's true. And just about any business runs into those situations where we have difficulty communicating with one another. One person thinks they got the message across. Another person thinks they received the correct message. And, right. And then we find out we're just not good at communicating sometimes, are we?
What was the infamous line that Richard Nixon said about what you think you heard was not really what I said or something along those lines? I can never quote that exactly.
I can't get the exact line, but yeah, I remember his line about that.
Communication is such a difficult topic in lots of ways to talk about too, Steve. That's why it's so important in business that we do that, because it's critical to business success. You know, it really is a truism that most owners and leaders and managers think they're great communicators, mm-hmm. and they may not be great communicators. If you've ever worked for someone who admitted they weren't a great communicator, you should probably raise your hand right now, because no one ever admits that. And so the question I want to raise today with our listeners is this. Why do those people that are in positions of authority automatically think they're great communicators? They don't think they have to work on improving their communication skills.
Now, is that strictly a rhetorical question, or
well, it can be an actual question if someone would like to call and share that. But I think it's a great rhetorical question, because one of the things that I've have thought about for a long time is when you get promoted or when you start a business, do you get a window sticker that says I'm a great communicator, or do you get a card with your picture on it that you can carry in your wallet? Because if so, I didn't get mine. I need to call someone and let them know. Managers in common view themselves as being the key to the operation at hand. They are the person who can tell people how to do it, instruct them how to do it, make them do it if need be, et cetera, et cetera. And after all, if they aren't able to communicate about the business and the operation, who can do it?
Well, when a person gets into a position of authority, they have to have some understanding of how it happened, of how they got there.
No, right? I would argue that point with you lots of times, because I've seen lots of people get in positions of authority and they're clueless why they're sitting in the office that they're in.
Let me back up and change my statement to say they should.
They should. That's correct. They absolutely should.
And don't you think communication is one of those skills that those persons tend to attribute to themselves.
Yes.
This is part of the way I got here.
Yes. Look how great I can commute. Yeah. Look at this. Look at all these people that are out here that I'm over. They all understand exactly what mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell mm-hmm. them. Wrong. Simply wrong. That is a mistaken assumption.
But it's a widely held assumption.
It is indeed. But you've got to think about this for a second. To your point, if the boss can't communicate the wants and the needs of the business well, and employees as a consequence don't comply with their wishes, is it the fault of the employee?
No, but don't you think there are those instances where the boss doesn't communicate well and the employees are really good?
Sure. Absolutely.
And they get the job done.
And they'll get the job done, even though the boss is clueless about whether or not he gave them the directions to get things accomplished.
Every group has a leader, and it may not necessarily be the boss.
Yes.
Would you agree with
that? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And lots of times, those people who are not the boss will emerge as a leader in a different role within an organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. Kevin Dom recently had a great article in Inc. magazine. He called it the 7 things really amazing communicators do. So let's talk for a second about whether or not you're a great communicator. Now, first supposition we have to make here, Steve. There is verbal communication where you and I are speaking with each other and communicating back and forth. And then there's nonverbal communication. I'm looking for cues from how you react to something that I say, or I'm looking at what you're doing, or are you paying attention to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the nonverbal aspect of this thing. So Dom goes in and says, it doesn't matter whether you're in the business of delivering products or services. Either way, your success is going to depend on your ability to communicate well. When things go wrong, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be able to attribute it to the fact something didn't get communicated correctly along the way. You can think back on situations in business that you've been in. I can think back on situations in business that I've been in. And when I do a postmortem, as we all do with situations that are not good or didn't turn out the way we thought, when we do that postmortem, we're going to probably find out that we didn't communicate what needed to be done to the person who had to actually make it work. That's one of the key things. So, how you communicate will determine if you lead, if you command respect, if you earn trust, and even if you're well-liked. Because when you think about the people that you like in your life, not just that you work with, but the people that are good friends, they can probably communicate well with you. Yeah. And if you don't talk with people, if you're just around them, you're probably not going to look at that person as a really good friend. Your really good friends are the ones that you can sit and talk to and discuss. Poor communications and people that are poor communicators are going to probably suffer from confusion and maybe even low self-esteem and definitely from frustration. So think about some great communicators. I got a couple of examples to use. Think about, for example, President Reagan. Okay, President Reagan was called in history the great communicator. And you remember he would talk about the shining city on a hill. He could paint those metaphors with words that everybody could visualize in their head what that shining city on the hill was all about. President Clinton was a great communicator. President Clinton could go back into his memory that I've always admired, because he has probably met a gazillion people in the time that he's been in politics. And in every situation in which he found himself, he could pull out a story about Joe in Podunk that he remembers that used to work X number of hours a day. He had that example that he could use of someone that he'd met, and he could communicate that well. He always was able to use that story to drive a point home. Now, there's no need for you to be a communications offender if you are. Dom suggests that if we simply look at 7 different traits, we can rise up to a high potential. So let's talk about those 7.
Okay? Sounds good.
The first is that great communicators connect. Think about connection for a second. You know instinctively if you connect with someone or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go in and talk to someone and there's a conversation that's going on between the two of you, you know if you're connecting. You know if you're listening. You know if they're listening. So you're talking with someone as opposed to talking at someone.
Okay.
Big difference, okay? Many people, when they go in and start talking to someone, what do? The very first thing, they start with what they want. They start with their own agenda. Why would they do that? You know, if they have something to say, they just start right in without considering the other person. You have to think about how your message to that person is going to be received. The person that's receiving the message may not have a clue what you're telling them. They may not have the context in which you're communicating with them or speaking to them. And that's very, very important. You may just go in and broadcast your message, assuming that everybody's going to think it's the most important information in the world. Well, here's a clue. It's not. Mm. It's not the most important communication in the world. It might be the most important communication to you, but unless you've prepared that other person, they're not going to be able to receive the message that you're trying to communicate. I got a review recently, Steve, that said that it was talking about outside influences. And it said that we get bits and snippets of over 2,200 different marketing messages in a 24-hour period. Signs, radio ads, TV ads, TV product placements, all the different things that you can think about, 2,200 in a 24-hour period. So is it any wonder that people get confused about what to do and how to do it and what laundry detergent to use, what car to drive? I mean, just think about that for a moment. Nobody's preparing them for that message. They're being bombarded with that message. And if you get bombarded with that message, that's not a share with message.
Okay.
That's just an attack ad, okay? And you'll notice that I say share with as opposed to tell. There's a huge difference in perception on the person on the other end of your communication. And I mentioned President Clinton a moment ago. People say that if you're in a room with President Clinton and he starts talking to you, he makes you feel like you're the only person in the world. He gives you his undivided attention when he's talking with you. And isn't that a great way to communicate with people? Because it makes you feel important.
Yeah, it's the difference in here's what I want you to do, and what if we did this, or why don't we
Sure. Have do you thought this? About this?
Yeah. Even if the boss is not actually going to do it, just seeming as if it's our project rather than your project.
Absolutely. And that's the key that you have to get to. Second thing is a great communicator isn't afraid to engage. Okay? Next to boring lectures that you get from people or overbearing shouting, I personally find the most frustrating communication to be where I have to carry the whole communication. Mm. You know? Mm-hmm. You'll go in and you'll start talking to someone and they just shut down. And all of a sudden, you have to be the person that talks about, have you considered this? Have you thought about this? Well, one of the times that we've done this before, we've done it this way. Whatever, you have to carry the whole conversation. And you're not alone if you feel that way. You've got to be able to engage that other party. You have to be able to find a way to get that person to talk to you. Lots of times, you can mirror their conversation. You can just reflect back on what it is that they're saying. Good line to learn. Let me see if I heard what you just said to me.
Mm-hmm. That is a good line.
You know, and that way you know that they're communicating with you and that what you're hearing is what they're trying to communicate. Mirror back what you said so that the pathway is the right pathway to follow. And this way, you're engaging the other party and you assure their understanding. Don't forget, to be that amazing communicator, you got to be well informed. You have to be ready to learn, listen, and participate. Another thing that Dom tells us is that a great communicator is always ready to disarm the other party. Now, that's not necessarily negative. People naturally are on the defensive. And that's coming from over-communication. So you got to know how to lower the defenses of others. Not being manipulative, but rather they're comfortable and they're humble and they're authentic. Great way to disarm people if you're that way. I don't really get that. Share with me what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens up the line so that there's true communication that occurs between
okay.
people. You got to get comfortable and confident, though, Steve, in your own skin. You have to feel very comfortable that what you're doing, what you're saying, the direction that you're headed is the right way to pursue the communication with that individual, because everybody communicates differently. You know, we talked about nonverbal communication and verbal communication. Nonverbal communication, if you can understand the nonverbal cues that you get from other people, 65% of what you are doing is nonverbal communication. 35% is verbal communication.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to understand those cues that you're getting from other people. Communicators are not afraid to clarify their intentions. Okay?
Okay.
And the most interesting conversations that you have with others are often going to go into a lot of detail. And they become quite important to both of you in how you communicate that information. But your role isn't to baffle that other person. You know, you're not trying to confuse them. You're not a steamroller. Everybody's met those people along the way. I mentioned President Reagan a moment ago. He was best known for being really simple and clear in what he was saying. And if you may remember the 80 presidential debates with President Carter that mm-hmm. he had, where all of a sudden he was listening to all of this explanation that Carter was giving about health care and so on and so forth. And then he said, "Well, Governor, there you go again." And you know what that did was that actually put Carter in a place where there was nothing he could come back with
mm-hmm.
because the whole audience laughed. I mean, do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember that debate
and people
very
were
well.
Thinking, I'm thinking the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so in a way, not only did he disarm all of the information that President Carter was mm-hmm. trying to communicate, but he also put it out there with everybody that's the same thing I was thinking. So he didn't talk to them directly, but he certainly got his point across.
Yeah.
You know, so Governor, there you go again. He was able to clarify his position, and the audience had the laugh. So don't just assume, because what you understand what you're saying, that your audience does too. The best communicators find ways to take the most complex facts or the most complex information and break it down without being condescending. One of the things that you got to do, though, is check in during that conversation to make sure that everybody's still on board. You got to define it and redefine it and reinforce your position. How many times have you heard a speaker or had a conversation, and later, when you're asked what you remember, you come up with a big zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't really remember what was said. Well, that's not good. That's telling you that somewhere along the line, something went sideways. Well, first off, don't blame yourself, because communications is the responsibility of the communicator. It's up to the person that's trying to communicate the information to get the information across.
So they need to know that they need to tell you what they're going to say, say it, and tell you what they said.
You bet. Absolutely. The best communicators understand people only retain, are you ready for this? 10% of what they hear.
Wow.
10% of what they hear. And they're artful, and they reinforce key points through storytelling. Maybe you noticed on the show, I always try to illustrate a point that I'm making. And lots of times, I will, in fact, tell a story. Something that's happened to me in the past or something that has occurred to someone that I know. I've had people stop me and say, "Hey, I heard that story that you told about XYZ on Steve's show last week. That really didn't happen, right?" And of course it did. It happened. It occurred, and I told it for a reason. Last week, I told a story about a former boss that would come in and flip my tie over to see what brand of tie I was wearing, right? Well, I've had several people that have commented about that this week and have said, that really happened? Well, yes, it really happened. One guy even said to me, I didn't know you ever wore a tie, which told me volumes about the fact that not only was he listening, not only did he get the point, but he was able to turn it around on me and go, gee, you don't wear a tie very often anymore, do you? So that told me that that story rang true with a lot of people that I know. And I think that's really important. Good communicators are able to do this too, this storytelling and sharing, without coming off as preachy, okay? One of the great things about Dr. Martin Luther King was he was able to really communicate information well. I love one quote from him that I always remember. He said, "The time is always right to do what's right." I mean, think about the simplicity of that statement and yet the complexity of all of the different things that it covers.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah. Finally, you got to practice your communication skills. You can't just throw them out there and hope for the best.
Okay. Good thought. Give us your contact info, Alan.
Hey, email me, agwin@thegwinconsultancygroup.com. Call me or text me, 800-335-9269. I am always happy to hear from our listeners.
Always a pleasure to talk business with you on the program. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Do it. We'll take a break here. Traffic, weather, and news on the way, and more of the Steve Hawkins Show follows. 54 degrees at 7:58.